Food City makes it easy to shop your way. Just pick up your groceries curbside or have them delivered directly to your home. So whether you need weekly groceries or just a quick meal, Food City's got you covered. From their doors to yours.
All right, you're dialed in here to the Eric Ainge Show on the Sports Animal. Logan Ward in today. We have some stuff to discuss, Logan.
We got some topics to get to first.
So we played in the Lindsey Nelson Memorial Golf Tournament yesterday.
Ton of fun.
It was a blast. I played terrible, but in fairness, I didn't really want to be there, but you guys were fun.
You made it through 16 holes, though.
I made it through 16.
Which is good for you, I think.
And I had a good reason to leave, too. I told you my dog was going to struggle. He pooped in the house. I was worried about it, and I got home, and it happened anyway.
You were worried about through that, like,
well,
five
holes. He's like 10 years old and weighs 160 pounds, so he struggles if you don't let him out frequently. I should have gone home. I didn't. No big deal. He's okay. Everything's fine. We played with Mark Heidel and Jimmy Taffer.
Yes.
And Jimmy is a good golfer. Really good golfer. You're a good golfer. Mark Heidel.
Oh, my gosh.
Could be on the PGA Tour.
He's insane.
I mean, he didn't hit one bad shot. And
no.
He went last, so, like, the three of us would hit. And, you know, I'd be just off the green. You and Jimmy would be on the green, but a little ways away. And we'd be like, come on, Mark, we need a good one. And he'd literally hit the pin once, bounced to, like, a foot from the hole, and we wouldn't even have to get out of the carts. They're just, you walk over, they're one-foot putts. He's chipping from 60 out, putting them a foot from the pin. I've never seen anything like
that. Well, remember on hole 15, and if anyone knows, it was a dead horse. So hole 15 is kind of the slight dog leg right, but it's a little sharp. So I hit 4-iron off the tee. I have it down to maybe like 60-something yards. We take my drive. I step up, hit it 4 feet for birdie. And then I look at you and I say, Mark's going to put it inside of me. And that thing legitimately almost landed right in the hole. And it was like a foot.
He was incredible. And we had a really fun group of guys. I forget their names, but we had a really fun group of guys in front of us that were playing. You drove into them like three times.
Sorry.
But it's not your fault. The course has so many blind spots. Unless you drive all the way up, you can't tell.
It's not my fault that I hit the ball so far.
And we had to wait a little bit. You drove into them three times, and they were cool. They'd always just point at the ball. They didn't get mad or anything. Overall, it was a good time remembering a Tennessee legend, Lindsey Nelson. I believe his daughter was there,
yep.
Right?
The family was there.
Whole family
was
there.
Lots of fun.
All good times. And, fun golf tournament.
But, Ainge, today we are out here at Beard and Beer Market. Come see us here until noon. We're going to tell you all this afternoon, into the afternoon this morning, about the first annual inaugural barbecue cook-off challenge here this Saturday, August 20th, from 1 to 4 p.m. That features 8 different local barbecue cookers, some live music here at Beard and Beer Market, 4524 Old Kingston Pike, and 3 celebrity judges.
We need to talk about this.
Would be.
We're gonna talk about this.
I heard you all talked about me yesterday on the air.
We did, and we're going to do it live. You need to hear it.
Okay. The 3 celebrity judges, I hear my status was kind of questioned, but I am included into this. Ainge, me and you are going to be here, and then Brian Rice is going to be here as 3 celebrity judges.
We're going to discuss this.
I'm a celebrity.
You need a dose of reality.
I don't care what you all say. But Chris Bernard back in the Budweiser Studios producing for us this morning alongside Eric Ainge. I'm Logan Ward. Let's do it. Take a look at the game plan. All right, Ainge, so we have now reached preseason poll season. We've reached power poll season. The AP poll came out on Friday. You and Brian talked about Tennessee's snub, if you want to call it, not being inside the top 25, but Pittsburgh's up there as the fire truck drives by Beard and Beer Market. And then Kentucky's ahead of Tennessee. ESPN comes out with their preseason power poll. They don't have Tennessee ranked inside the top 25 either.
So the question becomes, because we cover it more intimately than anybody.
Yes.
So the question becomes, are we overvaluing Tennessee, or is the rest of the country undervaluing Tennessee?
And that's what I'm asking. I mean, at this point, everyone here in this market and I guess around Tennessee is saying Tennessee should be a top 25 team. Maybe we're way too high on Tennessee.
I don't think so, but we'll talk about it.
And maybe we're missing something about Pitt and Kentucky that says that those two teams are better than Tennessee. We will discuss that. Biggest questions you want answered in the 2020 college football season, 247 Sports lists a couple. Me and Ange will break down those and give you a couple questions that we have about Tennessee, maybe doubling down on some of our takes that we've had throughout the offseason, questions we want about the SEC. I have a huge question surrounding Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. I'll break that down for you a little later. And then college football as a general. And then today, Big Topic Wednesday. We laid it out a few weeks ago. We're going to start doing the most. You can do this evergreen topic every single year. Most important game. Last Wednesday was an all-timer with the trough Wednesday. Most important player for Tennessee this season outside of the quarterback Hendon Hooker.
That's a good one.
You could go defense, maybe a guy who's going to step up as a freshman that's going to make an impact this year for Tennessee. We will break that down and more. And then some betting lines. Circa came out with all their SEC betting lines for week zero and all the way up until week one. What's a must-win game for a team in week one? Just top, just off the top. What do you think is a must-win for a team?
Needs to be someone that needs to prove something, that needs to start fast. Florida.
Okay.
New teams, and we'll talk about it, but new teams with new coaches that are trying to rebuild are naturally front runners. So if things go great, if things go well, they can go really well. And if things go bad, they can go really bad. And I think it's crucial that they start off, maybe not with a win, but
the really good Utah team.
It's the top 10 Utah team.
Yeah,
and if Florida can beat them, then look out. And if they don't, then they're going to have their butts puckered a little bit with Kentucky coming to Florida, because Kentucky is a good football team, and that becomes a must win. You can't start 1-2 going into the Tennessee game. Mm-hmm. So I might say Florida.
The final thing we'll get to, I don't like preseason polls. Or maybe
you
that's a little
both.
Harsh.
I don't either.
I take them for what they are. They're for, A, content. We're, you know, wearing the heck out of them. And then also it kind of gives you – it kind of sets the expectation. So I'm going to ask the question, why can't the College Football Playoff Committee start ranking teams the first 3 weeks of the season and not wait till late October, early November? Because that's what we go off of. The AP poll becomes completely irrelevant in November. Because it's all about the College Football Playoff Committee. So why can't they just go ahead and set the precedent and the, you know, expectation for each team after the third week of the season?
No, because it's not as fun to do it like that. If you're going to play games, you got to have numbers next to the teams. The problem is, and don't get me wrong, sports writers, people with votes, don't get me wrong, a lot of them have never played football.
You say that like sports writers have big egos.
And they do the best they can. With the knowledge they have, and they've been doing it for a long time, but I just take it with a grain of salt is all. And if the coaches pull, if they actually did it and spent time, then I would look at that one way more, but they don't. So you end up just with two pulls, and you got it, accept it, move on.
Over under coming up at 11 o'clock. That is the game plan laid out to you today, every single day by 42nd Street.
42ST.com. Let Mike Carlton help your business online. If you can win the internet, then you can win new customers. If you can win new customers, well, then you can put more money in the business, in your pocket, pay your people more, whatever it is you need to do. You can manage your business with more funds. Who doesn't want that? 42ST.com.
We are out here at Beard and Beer Mark today, 4524 Old Kingston Pike. We're going to be telling you all afternoon about the inaugural barbecue kickoff challenge this Saturday, August the 20th, from 1 to 4 p.m. Celebrity judges are going to be here, Ainge, alongside Chris Bernard and Eric Ainge. I'm Logan Ward right here on the Eric Ainge Show. On FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Well, we're broadcasting live from the Beer and Beer Market. You already know where it is. You've been here before. If you haven't, you should. And you should come this Saturday from 1 to 4 for the inaugural barbecue cook-off challenge. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be here with my 3-year-old Ramsey, which is going to be a blast. We're going to play in the rocks, eat some barbecue. Stay away from the big fan.
Yep.
It'll be good.
A lot of fun.
Looking forward to it. And Brian and Logan will be there as well. Now, here's the thing. Before we do anything that matters. Now, I granted Brian local celebrity status yesterday. I gave it to him because he's been on the radio for a long time. People recognize him around town. He is a part of the Eric Ains show, so he gets that credit as well. It wasn't easy for me to do. I didn't feel great about it.
I'm sure he appreciated it, though.
He did. He did. He appreciated the knighting. You know, but Brian's almost 40 years old, and he's been doing this for a long time.
He's a grown man. He's 40.
Logan, you're 23 years old.
Yeah.
And you're a smart 23-year-old. You know a lot about sports. You do a great job on the radio. But you, by no stretch of the imagination, are considered a celebrity yet. I'll give you yet. I think you have it in you.
I'm just saying what Beer and Beer Market called me.
Well, they say celebrity judges, and then, you know, they end up getting a local celebrity, a kind of local celebrity, and a up-and-coming. I almost used the word wannabe, but I like you more than that.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you up-and-comer with potential to be local celebrity.
But what do I have to do to get
knighted? I don't have that information yet. You're on your way. You're doing well. You're tracking well. Your progress is encouraging.
I've been doing this for about a year now, I guess.
And that's not
I started
long
producing
enough.
Your all show.
That's not long enough.
But I mean, I got to put up with you all every day. You got to give me something.
Until you get to the point where you're with me and someone wants a picture with me. And they also want a picture with you instead of handing you the phone to take a picture of me and that person, then you're not there yet.
Has anyone ever, though, wanted a picture with you and Brian?
Well, I don't know that that's true. Yeah,
what are we doing here?
Yeah. That has happened. That has happened. Not often.
Okay.
But it has happened. That's why he got granted his local celebrity card.
Is Kane a local celebrity?
No.
Is Joel a local celebrity?
No.
I think they are.
No.
They've been doing it a whole lot longer than I have.
That's not what qualifies it.
But I think people know who they are.
One of the main things you have to achieve is people, when they realize who you are, they want a picture or an autograph.
But I didn't play at Tennessee. Well, I didn't play quarterback at Tennessee.
Then you still have a ways to go. That's all I'm saying.
Do you think someone sees Uncle Josh Ward out at, you know, Food City, sponsor of the Eric Ains show?
Not,
they want a picture with Josh
not
Ward?
Not often, but yes, I guarantee it happens. Not often.
No chance.
Not often.
No chance.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I've seen Tyler Ivins take pictures with people before. That's why he gets granted.
They feel sorry
locals,
for him.
The locals love him. Maybe. Possibly.
Probably.
Probably.
I
but
think
that's
I am.
Neither here. That's all right. I'm done. I'm done.
I'm
we
just
can
saying
on.
What Beer and Beer
You're
Market
just
is called.
Not there yet, and I will inform you when you are.
Hey, just come see me and Brian. Then we're two local celebrities. You are no longer a local celebrity.
Oh wow, you're taking my
just
card.
If we're broad brushing everything.
So Kane might get his because he has a blue check mark. So that is a qualifier. So that counts too.
You have one, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I need one. Where you at, Twitter? Where you at, Big Tech? So, Ainge, we're in preseason ranking season. It's we're starting to see actual football being played. There's a college football game actually 1 week from Saturday.
Is that Hawaii?
It's Hawaii and Vanderbilt.
And Vandy?
You're going to stay up till 10:30 and watch that, right?
100%.
Exactly. So ESPN asked 48 of their ESPN college football experts to submit their own top 25s, leading to a consensus list. So you would expect Alabama's number one, Ohio State number two, Georgia number three, sure.
That's how it should be.
Notre Dame is number five. I don't see that personally, but whatever.
They're overvaluing Notre Dame.
Looking at some more SEC teams, I see Texas A&M number seven. I think
Texas A&M was unranked last year. They were unranked.
They're overvalued. USC, whatever. I see Michigan State.
Michigan State is solid. I think they're overvaluing Miami a little bit, but they play in a bad conference.
A&M, excuse me, Arkansas 17.
I buy Arkansas at 17.
Okay.
I think they're a good football team.
Then I see Pitt at number 19, Ole Miss number 20. Then you got to scroll all the way down to 22 to find Kentucky. And I keep scrolling down. Ainge, I don't see Tennessee anywhere. They're not in the top 25 of ESPN's 48 expert rankings.
Okay, so here's where it's a little silly. Because they all have different qualifications for what they're ranking on. Like, to me, what you did the year before should matter in the preseason ranking because you're basing it off what you know.
Should it?
Yes. Because Texas A&M being highly ranked last year and falling out of the top 25, to me, matters when it comes to this year. Almost all those players, now they lose, they also lose a lot. They bring back like nobody. And they have a quarterback who I think is a solid guy. You know, he's a solid quarterback. Max Johnson.
Max Johnson solid. Or Haynes King, the
Either
freshman.
One, you know, solid.
Yeah, we'll
I wouldn't go with the freshman. But regardless, they're solid. They're not the seventh best team in the country. There's no way they're the seventh best team in the country. See, like, I can buy Clemson because Clemson, if you just assume if you assume that they're going to figure it out offensively, because last year was terrible,
horrible.
If you assume they figure it out offensively, they bring back a lot of really, really good players. They should be, and they still won 10 football games last year.
Then why is Miami number 16 then? If we're going off
hype.
Of last season,
hype.
7-5, but I think that there's more hype with Tennessee than there is Miami.
Maybe not national. No, nationally there probably is. But see, this is what I'm getting at with Tennessee. Tennessee went 7-6 last year. Sure, it was exciting, and sure, it was better than everybody thought it would be. But it still wasn't good. You won 7 football games, so that alone doesn't get you the they should be way better this year because they won 7 football games. They won 7 football games last year. They still have a lot to prove. Texas A&M. Fell out of the top 25. They have a lot to prove. Texas A&M should be ranked 15th in the country or 17th
in the country. Yeah, they should not be a top 10 team. That's insane.
No. And a lot of it is based on who you bring back at quarterback. Tennessee should get a nod there. Returning starters matter, assuming they're good returning starters.
Your best receivers back?
Sometimes you see the returning teams, wow, they return 7 on offense and 9 on defense, and you look at them, you're like, yeah, but they were 7-6 last year. Are the starters good?
And this is kind of what I'm getting at. Are we way too high on Tennessee? Or maybe not way too high. Are we just because we talk about the football team every single day, we're up close and personal with everything going over there at UT? Are we just
no?
Are we blinded by maybe what reality is?
I'll tell you on the other side.
Okay, we'll get to that. Also, your phone calls coming up next here at 656-9900 out here at Beard and Beer Market, 4524 Old Kingston Pike, alongside Chris Bernard and Eric Ainge. Chris Bernard has a midday sports minute coming up for you right now. I'm Logan Ward, right here on the Eric Ainge Show on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Live from the Beard and Beer Market, you're listening to the Eric Ainge Show. We're brought to you by Food City, the official supermarket of UT Athletics. Hey, check it out. You can text or call 865-656-9900 if you want to join the conversation here on the EA Show this morning.
So let's go to Scott, 656-9900. Scott, good morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning. Love your show. Eric, you made a comment yesterday that really kind of gave reality to me in the sense that, you go 7-6. Why do you think you're going to be in the top 25, you know, immediately, you know, thinking, oh, it's going to be our year? But so I thought about that in y'all's conversation, and I agree with you. And I'll tell you something, though, that's maybe kind of encouraging is the fact that you know, when Lane Kiffin came in, he took that team that first year, a quarterback who hadn't played and was a field goal for beating Alabama. And quite frankly, he did pretty well that year. And I'm not saying that Josh is Kiffin, but if he's close, and who knows, he could end up being a better offensive mind at some point. But I just think that that's encouraging to think that, with what Kiffin came in with that offense and to be able to do what he did the first year, and then with Josh being able to put the excitement in with our offense, that you know, we could be on to something. If it's not this year, maybe next year.
Well, Scott, I think it is this year. I just also understand why the rest of the country isn't valuing us as much as we are. Every team, every fan base thinks their team is better than they probably are, outside of a couple that are legit. You know, Alabama thinks they're the best. Well, they are, you know.
But yeah, they are.
We think we're better than we are, and I think a lot of that is projecting. But Tennessee is going to be favored in probably, if everything goes like it's supposed to,
at least eight. Right now, at least.
At least eight, and it's been nine throughout the offseason. The early lines had us – the only team they had favored over us was LSU, which I don't even necessarily understand or agree with that.
Well, it's on the road.
Fair. But all of – half of those games – no. 4 to 5 of those games that we're favored in, the line is a touchdown or less. So our margin of error is very slim – to reaching the goals that we want to reach. And if I was a voter, I would put just as much stock into what that squad looked like the year before as I did my projection of them for the next year. It would be like a 50-50 split. If you just go based on what you think they're going to look like, you're going to get it wrong on a ton of teams. You have to look at the past to predict the future. But not exclusively, but 50-50.
I really hope. Now, as you said, everyone's voting criteria is different. I mean, everyone's outlook on everything is completely different. When it comes to voting, though, I really hope that voters don't go look at last year that much. I mean, maybe with, you know, returning production coming back, which Tennessee has a lot of that, especially on offense, of course you'll lose Valus Jones and Javonte Payton. You also bring back Cedric Tillman, some guys on the offensive line that, if they're healthy, can be one of the top ones in the SEC. We'll figure out left tackle later. Hendon Hooker, your quarterback's back. I think maybe a reason why Tennessee's not in any of these top 25 polls, and we're sitting here saying it's crazy, is because people around the country voting in these polls and just looking at Tennessee objectively, not that we're not, is saying, okay, the offense is going to be really good. We know that. You're going to get a good offensive system with Josh Heupel. He's going to put up yards. They're going to put up points. But that defense, you want to see kind of take a next step. I get the sense, though, that this is kind of a wait and see.
No, the reason that they don't value the defense is because they're looking at the past and saying, these guys were not good last year.
And that's what I'm saying.
They return almost everybody. So, great, they have all these returning starters. But all those guys that played last year weren't very good.
No.
So that hurts them in the poll. You have to look at the past. Now, you could say the argument and the projection is Jeremy Banks looks like a different football player right now. And Byron Young looks like a different football player right now. Tyler Barron, different football player right now. We have defensive linemen whose names we don't even necessarily know yet that are going to be getting TFLs and sacks. We know that.
We see it.
The country doesn't. That's why they don't value us as much as we do, because we know that our defensive players are getting better. I know from watching practice that the defense looks, dare I say, even pretty good. You know, not just better, but they look pretty good. I mean, not great, but they look solid.
You just want them to be consistent.
But nobody knows that. So if I was doing my vote, Tennessee would be in probably the 19 to 23 range. It's probably where I would have them, but it's because I know all of that. An AP voter in Los Angeles has no idea if our defense has gotten any better.
Yeah, they're worried about LeBron.
They just know that we return a bunch of players that weren't very good last year.
Yeah.
That's all they know. And that's why we're not in the top 25. And that's nothing to get mad about.
No, I don't think anyone should be mad. I just kind of say, I mean, I think that we're saying the same things, just different ways. It's let's wait and see. The thing about this is, though, Ange, we're going to know by September if we've been telling a whole bunch of lies all offseason or if this Tennessee team is ready to really come into their own.
I'll tell you one thing. I haven't told a single lie. If they're not good, then that's on them, because they should be.
I agree.
They should be a good football team. I'm telling you, they're a good football team. They may not win 10 games. They may win eight. They may lose some close, really tough fourth quarter games this year, and everyone will be somewhat disappointed if they win eight. If they win nine, then everyone should be beyond excited because we haven't won 9 games in the regular season since I was the quarterback.
I think 8-4 though is a top 25 team. I mean, that's what I have Tennessee going, and I have them in that 23-25 range.
4 losses gets you somewhere between 23 and receiving votes.
And Tennessee's been like 26 in most of these
polls. 3 losses and you're a top 20 top 22 team. So
yeah.
But we have less – I have less of a wait-and-see approach for our team, and I value them more because I know more about them. And the people voting, they know a little bit about every – they know a lot about the top, you know, top teams, and then they do their best to research the rest. But you can only research so much.
So with ESPN and these other polls, the AP poll, the coaches poll, who none had Tennessee ranked.
We're not ranked in anything.
Exactly. They have Pittsburgh number 19 – this is ESPN, and then Kentucky 22. I mean, that maybe it's the wrong way to look at this. That tells me that they have Tennessee going 7-5, losing to Kentucky and Pittsburgh. That's just the way I look at it.
Vegas has us beating Kentucky, so you could look at it that way.
I know.
Say, you know who I trust way more than some AP voters?
Vegas.
Every day of the week.
Now, I'm not picking Tennessee to lose to Kentucky.
Vegas has
us
going 9-3.
I think that Tennessee's going to just smoke Pittsburgh.
Do you really?
I do not get the love and the hype with Pittsburgh.
Maybe, I'm worried about Pittsburgh's defense and their defensive line. I'm worried about it.
I don't trust Pat Narduzzi.
I don't either.
He self-imploded this offseason or coming pretty close to it.
But they still have a lot of good players. So, like, Pittsburgh returns a lot. And they return a lot of production. Good players, especially on defense. That's what I'm more I'm more worried about them being disruptive on defense than anything else. We're going to win the football game, but I see why the country has them ranked at 19. If they have any production at quarterback, then they should be a really solid. They're not going to win the ACC again, but they could go 9-3 again.
I look at Pat Narduzzi. I mean, he just basically ran Mark Whipple, his offensive coordinator, out of town and basically justified it because he didn't run the ball enough. You had the best offense in school history, scored 35 points a game. Kenny Pickett was a Heisman contender, a Heisman finalist. He has self-imploded this offseason. He wants to win and win very boring. Whenever you win that way, playing this style of offense that Josh Heupel runs, it's kind of like what Kentucky did last year. All week leading up to that game, we said there is no way if Mark Stoops wants to play his style of football, there's no way that Tennessee doesn't win by more than like 10 to 14 points. They started to play and they
assuming
let it all
Tennessee
hang out there.
Tennessee can stop Kentucky from running the football.
And they, by the way,
and
they
with
didn't.
Will, with Will
and
Levis, they, able to, it, they didn't do it at all last year. So I get if I – again – every team learns more about everybody once you start putting stuff on film. But if you're going with a preseason projection, if I'm Mark Stoops, if I'm Pat Narduzzi, I'm absolutely assuming that we are going to run the crap out of the football, take care of the football, and go on 13 to 15 play drives and keep Tennessee's offense on the sideline. Why? Because teams did that to us last year.
And maybe Pitt might do that.
Well, I don't
maybe
think
maybe I'm
will.
Completely wrong against Pitt.
I think we're better. I think we're going to be better. I think that game plan will backfire because I think we will be better on defense.
Week and two better?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think our defense will be ready to play out the gate, and I think that we will be able to give Pittsburgh problems with them running the football and force them to throw it, and that stops the clock. You have to end up punting, and if that happens, then we'll beat Pitt by 15, 20 points. If they can run the football and play ball control like teams did to us last year, then we're in trouble. But I don't think that will happen.
I think Tennessee's defense is going to be solid. And when I say solid, just be consistently average. Because they flirted with first part of the season. I would call them an average, you know, defense in the first part of the year last year. The end of the season was well below average.
Well, the game plan got out for us, and everyone did the same exact thing against us, and we didn't have any answers. I mean, that's your Tim Banks last year. You're throwing your hands up in the air going, I don't know what else to call. And that, as a coordinator, is devastating. And I don't think he'll get to that point this year. He'll get that way at times in games, but overall, I think we will stop the run better and I think we will be better on third down. And if you just told me that alone, you told all these AP voters, Tennessee's defense looks a lot better right now and they're going to be better than they were last year, then Tennessee would be in the top 25.
That's
but
Eric Ainge.
People need to see it.
That's Eric Ainge. I'm Logan Ward out here at Beard and Beer Market until noon today. Come by and see us, 4524 Old Kingston Pike, telling you all about the inaugural barbecue cook-off challenge this Saturday, August the 20th, from 1 to 4 p.m. here in Beard and Beer Market, featuring 8 different cookers and live music. That's from 1 to 4 this upcoming Saturday. Alongside Eric Ainge, I'm Logan Ward. Ainge, what is a main question you have surrounding some teams in the SEC this year? What answers do you need to have this season, maybe surrounding a coach at a particular place, maybe in College Station, Texas? We will discuss that coming up next alongside Eric Ainge and Chris Bernard. I'm Logan Ward right here on the Eric Ainge Show on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Live from the Beard and Beer Market, you're listening to the Eric Ainge Show on the Sports Animal. 865-656-9900 if you want to give us a call. 865-656-9900 if you want to text us your questions or comments.
Yeah,
we got anything in there?
We had one text from Jay, saying, Logan thinking he's a celebrity was such a hot take, the fire truck showed up. I don't think that's necessary, Jay. That's not necessary.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm never wrong.
Hey, I'm just saying, I'm just reading what's in front
about
of me.
About stuff like that.
I'm never wrong.
Don't put that in the quote board. I'm wrong all the time.
Yeah. We also have a text from Trevor saying, Eric, your thoughts on Tennessee potentially, well, thoughts on Tennessee saying the offseason narrative has been, okay, Tennessee was only 3 to 5 plays away last season from being a 10-win team. I get it, but I just kind of think it's lazy.
No.
I do get it, though. I get it.
We won a lot of games that weren't close games. Several that we lost were close games that we easily could have won. You easily could have beat Pitt, Ole Miss, and Purdue. Easy. And you didn't. And that's important. You didn't do it, right? That's one narrative that I want to get squashed this year, is that Josh Heupel wins close games. I want us to be winning these games close. If we're going to go, and you want to see, we're 10-2, or could have been 10-3 last year. Wants to be 10-2 this year. It's going to come down to whether we can win close fourth quarter ball games. Because if we don't, we'll be 7-5 again. If we do, we'll be 10-2, 9-3 again.
And getting into this topic, questions that you won't answer during this season, some surrounding college football and some surrounding Tennessee, but we'll just take a Tennessee angle right here. I want to know, if it is a close game in the fourth quarter, can Tennessee get over that hump?
That's a great question, because that will determine whether we're any good or not. It just will. Maybe Missouri, I don't foresee us beating South Carolina like we beat them last year.
No.
That's not going to happen. We'll beat them, but I think it'll be a good football game and probably a fourth quarter football game.
Well, you're sitting across from a guy that has South Carolina beating Tennessee this year.
See, I don't value South Carolina as much. I still think they have a lot of issues, and I'm not buying Spencer Rattler. That's the main reason that I don't have him. I think he'll be fine. I don't think he's going to be bad, but I think he'll be fine. And if he's fine, then they're 7-5. If he's great, they're 8-4. They're not better than that. But, Tennessee, can they win fourth quarter ball games? I'll give you one. Does Georgia need rebuilding years under Kirby Smart or not? Because they were incredible last year, and they lost a lot, especially on defense. They're the number three team preseason, and they should be.
Yeah, true.
Do they have a little bit of a letdown this year, or are they competing to be in the college football playoff again? If they are, then I would say Kirby Smart's not in the rebuilding business.
So I think that there's a stigma out there, and please tell me if I'm wrong in your mind. The stigma out there surrounding a rebuilding year, meaning that you're going to drop down and, have 3 to 4 less wins than what you had last year. I don't think that's the case with Georgia. Whenever Nick Saban a couple weeks ago said last season was a rebuilding year for Alabama, everyone laughed and said, if that's a rebuilding year. It really was. You had to replace a quarterback, a Heisman-contending quarterback. You replaced a Heisman Trophy-winning wide receiver, one of the best offenses in, college football history. You had Brian Daboll as the offensive coordinator. You lost some guys on defense. If you look at it, I give you that with Tennessee. You say that is a rebuilding year.
It wasn't after like 3 weeks, though, watching Bryce Young play football.
For Alabama's standards, it was a rebuilding year. But for no one else's standards,
it may have been in his mind in the offseason, but when the season started, it was not a rebuilding year. They were phenomenal. So Kirby Smart may in his mind be going, this is a little bit of a rebuilding year. We have to replace a lot on defense. But after a few weeks of the season and he sees how good his defense is, then that no longer counts.
Yeah.
It's no longer a rebuilding year. Normal teams rebuild and they, to your point, they lose 3 to 4 games. You know, they went, you know, like a, if this isn't a rebuilding year for Pitt, but a school like Pitt with as good as they were last year, normally, you know, they wouldn't, they'd be 8-4 this year.
You lost the best quarterback
Michigan
in school
State
history.
Michigan State used to do it all the time. Iowa does it. You know, Michigan shouldn't this year because they bring back a quarterback who's good and so much around him.
Kentucky does it. I mean, they jump up and win 9-10 games some
years.
And they
go 7-5.
Exactly.
That is what normal rebuilding teams do. Kirby Smart and Nick Saban, I want to know, a rebuilding year for him would be if they're average on defense and they go 11-1. He can say, we had to rebuild. We weren't there yet because they're going to be double. I think Alabama is double-digit favorites in every one of their games right now. Georgia is in all but like one. So rebuilding to them would be losing a game or two. You know, if they lose a game or two, maybe you can call it a rebuilding year. But my question is, can he go 12-0 again and be playing for the college football playoff in the SEC championship game?
I think it's a rebuilding year, just not on normal.
But if you win all your
everyday
games,
standards,
you can't call it a rebuilding year if you win all your games.
Right, but just looking at right now, I would say that this might be a rebuilding year because you don't know.
Preseason-wise, he might be able to say that. Defensively, we have a lot to replace.
And hey, you're replacing all those guys who were drafted, 15 guys drafted across the board. You have 4- and 5-star guys behind them.
And that's why you might be able to say this. But I have a little bit of a wait and see with Georgia. I still have them going 12-0.
I have them in the playoff.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not, you know, can you really call that? That to me is my question. That's not rebuilding. That's just revamping. That's just replace. That's not rebuilding. It's replacing.
Like refreshing.
I would say replacing. Yeah, I would say replace. You just replace them with new guys, and you're just as good as you were the year before. And then you replace them with new guys. You're just as good as the year before.
Maybe they're not going to be as good on defense because that was the best college defense
of a long time.
My lifetime and maybe even your lifetime. That's Eric Ainge. I'm Logan Ward
out here at Beard and Beer Market.
Yes, I am. Out here at Beard and Beer Market today at 4524 Old Kingston Pike. Come by and see us. We are here until noon alongside Eric Ainge and Chris Bernard. I'm Logan Ward right here on the Eric Ainge Show on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.